Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it'll be Charlton to get us underway. Dobson currently over the ball. Ball into the box, looking for Stockley. He gets his head! And there's the opening goal! Charlton has scored. A delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan. Picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and directed towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Touch from O'Reilly is picked out by Tony, and it's into the edge of the penalty area. The equaliser, and it's Parrott who got on the end of the ball from Twine after it dropped into the middle. Charlton didn't pick up the run and then came on to back level.
Yeah, and there's a little error from George Dobson there. He's gone for a ball that's not his to go for. It's always an issue for a player when a ball bounces in the air and you think, I can get that, and you leave the position you're in, you leave the man that you're supposed to be marking, and you go and try and win it and you don't get anywhere near it. The consequence of that is it's nicked in front of you, it goes to the man that you're supposed to be marking, he turns and makes an inch-perfect pass behind the centre-halves to a very, very good run and a decent finish.
O'Reilly to deliver towards the far post, headed back in. It's a chance, it's a good block by Famo, and so with the shot, Parrott pokes it forward, it's a chance, and it's converted by Issa. Charlton just stood and watched the MK Dons striker convert. After initial pinball, falls so kindly for the striker, who couldn't miss, and MK Dons take the lead.
Yeah, so you have to make sure that when you're pushing out, when the initial clearance is made from a set piece, it goes into the second phase, and on the second phase, yeah, you push out, but you make sure you organise. There were six Charlton players in the centre of that six-yard box, and not one of them sort of took control and made sure they stayed alongside Issa, and he did have the simplest of tasks of just stroking it in the back of the net from 6 yards out.
And there is the full-time whistle.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez and we shall be looking back at that desperately disappointing defeat against Milton Keynes during the week, and of course ahead to Saturday's home game with Wigan Athletic. We're going to hear from the man himself, Nigel Atkins, the Addicts boss, and from you guys as well. We've got some fan reaction to the game. So joining me to do just that on your Thursday evening, first up, Mr. Tom Willing. How are you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. And also joining us from another room in my house, the call is like a horror movie. The call is coming from within the house. It's Benji Cloak. How are you doing, Ben?
Good evening, Louis.
Good to have you on the show for the first time this season. Right, so we've just heard there the goals from the Milton Keynes game. Obviously, we're going to look back at that and discuss another defeat, our third league game without victory so far this season. Of course, we're going to hear from you guys. We've got your tweets and your emails. We've got some fan reaction from the fan bar outside Milton Keynes' ground the other day. We've got your emails as well. Of course, we're going to hear from Nigel Atkins throughout the show. We're going to have his reaction to that game against Milton Keynes and a little bit of transfer story, I guess, and the boss will look ahead to the game against Wigan. So, Ben, I mean, you were up there at Milton Keynes on Tuesday. It's a weird one, really, because at full time, we're all absolutely fuming because, again, you know, I mean, this time we've thrown away a lead. But we found ourselves chasing the game again in the second half, and again, similar to the Oxford game, not really finding a way back into it. It's easy to forget now, considering how disappointing that second half was, that we did actually have a very good spell in the game and had the lead. But I think everyone will look at what happened after that again, and the concerns that we're starting to see this season sort of reared their ugly head once more.
Yeah, you're right. I think we did start off really well right at the start of the game. I think Jayasimi was looking really good, and I didn't go to Oxford myself, but I heard that he wasn't much on the ball, and Carl Robinson said his Oxford team man-marked him out of the game, whereas he was getting on the ball, he looked lively, we were getting forward well as a team, and scored a really good goal. About time out one of Albie Morgan's crosses got connected well into the box and headed in. And we deserved a goal. We deserved to go 1-0 up. We were looking strong. All the fans were in really good voice, thinking, okay, look, we can turn that negative performance against Oxford around today and really be on the front foot again. But yeah, unfortunately, a lapse in concentration at the back let them back in the game literally 2 minutes after, and we just never seemed to get going again for a little while. And then I thought then after that we had the best of the first half after that, and Stockley had a good shot that was saved. But the first half was positive. It was a shame we conceded, because I don't think they deserved it. We did have the most of the first 20 minutes, and it was positive. But as you said, unfortunately, the second half was polar opposite to that.
Yeah, and that's a concerning thing again, Tom, that we've now seen two games in a row where we've gone behind in a game and not really found a way back into it. Obviously, the Oxford game was slightly different. Like we were two down, we got the penalty back, and you thought that would set us up for a lively second half, which never came. And then on Tuesday evening, it was a similar story in that as soon as we fell behind, you didn't see the differences that we could make as a team. You didn't see the sub that came off and sorted out you didn't see the switch in the way we were going to play. If anything, you know, we seemed to run out of ideas, whereas in the first half we'd actually, you know, looked like, you know, for the first 20 minutes looked like we had a performance within us. And that's a concerning thing for me, is that we go behind and all of a sudden you don't really feel like we're going to get back into it.
Definitely, yeah. And Nathan and I were having this debate on Tuesday night about what the problem was, because I said to you two, there's something not right about this team at the moment, and I can't really put my finger on why it doesn't feel right. And Nath said for him, or maybe posed it as a question, said maybe it's the identity, and I think what you've just said there kind of makes sense with that. I thought we were brilliant for those first 15-20 minutes, moved the ball along really well, pressed them high energy across the pitch. And as you say, really, it was one silly mistake in midfield and a well-taken goal from them. You know, it had to be a good through ball and a good finish, although McGilvery was well out of position. But after that, you're right, we just looked devoid. And we've seen this over the last few seasons. We've looked devoid of confidence suddenly, and we just start lumping it long up to Stockley. And we don't need to play that way. We'd shown for the first 15-20 minutes what we can do on the ball, and we just lost all that. And you're right, I think that's the most concerning thing for me at this stage. I'm not pushing panic buttons. I don't think we need to do that. It's very early in the season, but you know, Nigel had a team playing a certain style towards the end of the last season, and we were getting good results. And so far, I feel like I've seen enough of the pre-season games and enough over these first three or four games, although I haven't been to one live yet, which I'm well aware of. But you know, I have seen the majority of the games, and they just don't quite look like they're gelling yet. And I'm hoping that that's all it is, and it's just, you know, early days, and it's just going to take a bit of time. But that identity isn't quite there, and we don't need to be a team that hoofs it up to Stockley, because he's more than that, and that midfield are more creative than that. So that's something that Nigel needs to get right fairly early. And if he can, because as I say, they've shown glimpses of doing that, then I think we'll be fine. But yeah, it's that fragility and that kind of fallback of just, we're just going to lump it long now, that would concern me at this stage.
Yeah, and as you said, there are those concerns and things we've got to think about. I certainly didn't feel like this at 2 o'clock on Wednesday morning when we'd finally driven home, Ben. You obviously came back in the car with me, but there are some positives to take out of that. You know, that opening 20 minutes. That's sort of what in my mind as a desperately positive person I'm going to cling to. But again, the concern about the lack of options on the bench, and we're in this stage in this early part of the season now where we've played three games. You know, Thursday will be Saturday even will be four games. I think there's another game before the final transfer window closes. So potentially could have played five games with a squad that's not ready yet. And that's quite clear from the bench. You know, Charlie Kirk came on, which is a massive step in the right direction. And you know, with all due respect to Charlie, we didn't give him the ball again, similar to how it was with DJ on the Saturday. But still, you know, I think, you know, a lot of fans got quite angry when I tweeted that Ben Watson's about to come on. Didn't, you know, it was probably not a personal slight on Ben, or I'm sure in some cases it probably is, but it's more the fact that we'd rather we were bringing on someone who you think is going to all of a sudden flip the game back in our favour.
Yeah, we just massively miss a game changer that can come on and really mix it up. Obviously, last season we had Chucks a lot of the time doing that, and he was a different force to Jaden because he can play really well with his feet and runs well with the ball. But we're struggling to bring anyone on that can do that at the moment. I think what really strikes me at the moment is that we've played three games and that we're unchanged in all three games. And obviously the Oxford game didn't go well. And you think, okay, that game didn't go well, especially in the first half when we concede two goals. We might change it up. But Nigel's looking around and thinking these young boys aren't ready. I mean, Deji came on Tuesday night and made a really good account of himself. I remember one block he did which looked like it was going in and he threw his body at it and he did really well. So fair play to him. He's taken his chance. But I just think you have the likes of Claydon and Davison. Are they going to offer us anything different up front? Well, Nigel's there at training with them day in, day out. And he's looking at it and doesn't think they are. So having Charlie Kirk coming in is a massive plus. But as Nigel said, he's had a big upheaval with his dad unfortunately passing away and moving down from up north and not having much training because of that. So it's going to take him a while. But as Tom rightly said, it's going to take the team a while to gel. And that's why it's, I think you'd struggle to find at the moment, I haven't looked, but a team in the EFL who have played all these games that haven't changed their team up because they know the likes of someone like Sean Clare, George Dobson, they played at different teams, at different styles. And as Tom was saying there, we need to find our own identity to make these players shine in their right way. But it might take them a little while to change to a different identity. So as much as it is hard to find the positives at the moment, I think that first 20 minutes when we were on top and we looked good and those players were looking good, I thought Clare and Dobson did look good for a little while. And I think people are pointing the blame at them at the moment because they are in the middle of the park, so and they are getting a lot of the balls, so they're there to be shot at because they're right in the prominent figure of it. But it will take them a time to get going, but we haven't got the players to kind of go, I tell you what, Claire, don't start today, but I'll give you half an hour to come on and really be lively and box-to-box kind of player he is. So, yeah, we're struggling in terms of that, and of course Nigel knows that because he isn't bringing people on because he doesn't think they're ready. So hopefully, as you said, before the window, we can bring in some extra bodies because it doesn't look like Alex Gilby's going to be fit anytime soon. So, yeah, just need some extra bodies to take away time and these players will grow as they gel together.
Now, obviously, one of the bigger disappointments from Tuesday, and there are a long list of them, unfortunately, and it is a hangover from Saturday as well. So in the last two games, Tom, we've conceded four goals. With all four of which you can point to things that we certainly could have done a lot better. Now, obviously, we talk about the 25 clean sheet target that Nigel mentioned himself after the game against Sheffield Wednesday on the opening day where we got the first one. Well, we're still 24 away from that target after these last two games. I mean, and obviously just focusing on Milton Keynes, you know, the first goal, George Dobson sort of just missed out on his challenge and that's all of a sudden opened up the space. I think there's certainly going to be question marks about the goalkeeper for that one as well. His positioning just seemed a little bit weird. I don't know if we have to watch it back and just see maybe it happened too fast for him. But, you know, there's a couple of people. I don't think Craig McGilvray's had the start to the season he would have expected to have considering the pedigree that he comes with. I think there's been a couple of goals he'll feel we should have done a bit better with. And then obviously the second one, bit of bad luck in terms of, you know, Akin Fainway putting an excellent block and it sort of poked through, but it somehow squirms through about four bodies. And Moisa, who was an absolute handful, to be fair to him, was completely unmarked 4 yards out, which is the last place you want to see him. So that defensive solidity that I thought we were going to have after the Sheffield Wednesday game, where all in all, other than that chance late on for Barry Bannon, we didn't really give him a sniff at goal. All of a sudden, that sort of faded away in the last two games.
Yeah, and that concerns me as well. Obviously, McGivery comes in as player of the year. Innes and Famwo, we saw how good those two were in the few options that they had, or the few games they had together last season. So, yeah, you're right. The first goal, as I say, it was a great pass to play him through, but the midfield let him in and gave him basically the freedom of our half. Well taken finish, but as you say, keeper well out of position. And that second goal, there are so many players around him that, you know, you could put it down to bad luck and say that it bobbled through to the wrong person, but I think there's enough people there that should clear it. And obviously my first answer was trying to find positives in answer to your first question, but I, you know, we have to be honest, 70-75 minutes of that game, we were not just bad, we were really bad. And Milton Keynes played well, to be fair to him, but I think we made it very, very easy. And, you know, even out on the flanks, look, I know Chris Gunter isn't a natural left back, and I know he's a Welshman and I want to try and stick up for him, but he was very poor. Obviously, we'll come on to his foul throw, I'm sure. And on the right-hand side, I didn't think Adam Matthews was much better. And as you said, the same you could be said of Oxford. They obviously had that chance in, I think it was the second half, when it was played right across our six-yard box and they only just missed it. So, you know, we could have easily, very, very easily lost that game by more. So it is a concern, and it goes back to the identity. You know, I don't know if we are a team that are trying to be solid from the back. I don't know if we are a team that are trying to play the ball out. I just don't really know what we are at the moment. And whilst I'm pleased we've got these players on long contracts and there's a chance to build that identity, we can't, three games into this season, be saying, well, that's okay, because, you know, if we don't go up this season, we can build on it. We're looking for promotion this year. And obviously that contract stuff that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago does give us some security for the future. But, you know, I don't think it's fans being impatient to say that they want success this season, because I feel like we are very close to being in a position to do that. And so these players need to gel very, very quickly. And Adkins has got a tough job on his hands to do that, but he's an experienced manager. And, you know, you'd think we'll come on, I'm sure, to talk about all of the recruitment stuff, because I know that's been being talked about a lot this week. But, you know, he's wanted these players. These are good individual players. I think we've all said we're pleased with the business we've done, but they need to start gelling quickly, because, okay, it's only three games and no one's panicking yet, but that can very quickly in this division spiral to 10, 11, 12 games. And if you've not got many points on the board by then, you're very quickly falling behind the kind of leaders. So, yeah, big change needed and needs to come soon.
Mm. Yeah, I think Tom brought it up there, and it did sum up our chasing of the game, having fallen behind 2-1, Ben. That foul throw from Chris Gunter in our corner flag was right by us in the press box. Basically, he kept trying to steal too many yards, and the second time he did it, the referee just overturned the decision and gave the throw the other way. And I can only imagine what the reaction was like in a frustrated away end at that point.
Oh, it wasn't good. It was not good, especially as Tom said, he didn't have a good game, so fans were already on his back. And then it's just crazy, because normally in injury time, if you're the team winning, you're the team sitting back and the other team are attacking you and you're thinking, please hold on, just boo it, way. But it just didn't happen. It was all MK. And then when we did get the ball, we either kicked it out of play or Chris Gunter wasted a minute doing that. I mean, I think the ref, first of all, sent him back because he said he'd come up the pitch too far. And then when he did come up, he then did that foul throw. I mean, yeah, again, we were devoid of ideas. And it was hugely frustrating, which resulted in a lot of fans singing "You're not fit to wear the shirt" when they came over at the end, which I can understand the frustrations, especially if you've been at Oxford and Milton Keynes and seen both performances, which were definitely not good enough. But obviously, I feel sorry for people like Jaden, who were brilliant, both defensively and up front. So that's definitely a massive positive we can take from him. But he just needs that support, whether that's someone changing our formation and someone playing up front with him as a two. But then maybe he doesn't think Josh Davison's ready for that. But yeah, in terms of the end of the game there, it was hugely frustrating. As I say, normally you're used to the team who are one down really attacking, trying to get their goal. But unfortunately, it was the other way around.
Yeah, it's certainly. Yeah, and again, similar to the Oxford game, obviously Deji Elerewe Eleroy, I will learn that at some point when he plays more often. But he's got his debut now, and I won't be surprised if he does play more often after the performance he put in, and that including an excellent block on a shot from Issa very, very early on. Now, I mean, that away end, Tom, at full time, obviously you would have heard the boos. And as Benji said, there was a bit of chanting about not fit to wear the shirt and that. It's been boiling over for a couple of weeks, isn't it, I think? You know, there was a lot of hope going into the season, and after a decent performance, decent enough performance against Sheffield Wednesday. But the concern about the lack of signings has been boiling. So I wasn't surprised to see it all boil over after a couple of frustrating games. And it shows there's still a little bit of work to be done, isn't it? Yeah, again, it comes back to, I think, a fan base that we're told this and that in terms of what our aims were going to be for this season, obviously whilst trying to do it sensibly and stuff, and it hasn't really been fulfilled yet. There's still time to do that, of course, but so far not so good on that front.
Yeah, I think so far this season, and I take myself out of this because I haven't even been able to show up for a game yet, but on the whole, I think the fans have been the most impressive part of the season. You know, that huge crowd, I managed to see the game on Sky because I was away the first week, but the huge crowd we had at home, I think the crowds that we've taken to both of the away games have been absolutely fantastic. And you're right, I'm not going to say false promises because obviously there's a long way in the season to go, but expectations have been set to a level, and as I said, rightly so, because of the players we have signed to date and because of the size of team we are and all of that, I think we rightly are looking at trying to get playoffs as a minimum. So yeah, and when you've spent whatever money you've spent and time you've spent travelling to those two away days in 5 days and seen two pretty dismal performances overall, you've got every right to feel that way, and particularly when emotions are running high, when you've just seen a bloke who's got 100 international caps give away a foul throw in the last minute when you're chasing a game. It's not a surprise it's boiled over. I think obviously the reaction on Twitter at full time of any game is not a place to judge things, but the fact that that reaction has continued throughout the rest of this week, I think, shows how the fan base are feeling currently. I don't think it's entitlement at all, and I think if we are going to come on to look at who has been perhaps identified or singled out this week, I think that the one pleasing thing for me is that on the whole, once people had calmed down post-result, people aren't particularly looking at the players. People aren't particularly looking at Adkins. There might be one or two. But I think people are prepared to give that side of the team and the squad a chance because a lot of the players are new, etc. So, I think that in itself is a positive because I feel like, again, on Saturday, majority of fans that are there will give the players a chance to redeem themselves. But it is a concern, and as I said in my last answer, if we go another few games without getting that first 3 points on the board and without scoring a goal from open play, you are going to question Adkins' tactics, you are going to question certain performances. But as I say, I think at the moment those players have still got a bit of leeway with the fans and a bit of time to correct that because it is still early days. But it is worrying. It's definitely a concern.
Right, let's hear from the man himself then, Nigel Adkins, the Charlton manager. I spoke to him after the game up at Milton Keynes and asked what he made of the evening's work.
Well, I thought the first 20 minutes were exceptional. I thought we had a good intensity about ourselves. We had great movements in front of the ball. Scored a great goal, you know, so for me the first 20 minutes we were very good, we had the momentum of the game. Then unfortunately not long after that we've gone and conceded, from my point of view, a very poor goal, you know, we've lost it. And then the momentum of the game changed then a little bit during that first half. But the goalkeeper's made a fantastic save from Jaden Stockley just before half time, little through ball there from DJ. I thought he had a great first half. And the keeper's made an excellent save there. So it's even at half time. And to be fair, it's fair to say that I thought MK Don's got the better momentum early on in the second half, and they've carried that on through the game. You know, they play a very, very good formation the way they do. They move the ball about. We wanted to press from the very beginning, so we've done that in spells. But sometimes when you don't quite get it right, you get taken. Teams can pass through you a little bit, and at stages that happened a little bit, and then when the momentum of the game goes that way, sometimes it's challenging. I know I've got a real honest, hard-working group of professionals who are giving everything they've got. We want to keep improving. Unfortunately tonight we've not got the result that we've come for. Exceptionally very good first half, some chances, But the second half belonged to MK Dons.
It's a disappointment after having those spells in the second half. It felt quite similar to the Oxford game, whereas when Charlton were chasing us, this a struggle perhaps to get back into it as much as you would have liked.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the second goal we've conceded, we should defend that better. You know, there's people around the lad who's gone and scored it, and they should, we should defend that better. And then at the end of the day, the result might have been a different result, although I must say I thought MK Dons passed the ball well. In spells in the second half. As I said, we wanted to go and press them, and it was a little challenge at times.
Momentum's a funny thing in football, obviously. I think it's the first time in a while that Charlton have gone free at the start of a league season without winning. That's something that you'll want to address as soon as possible before people get too down in the dumps.
Of course it is. I mean, I say to the players, you've got to take care of business now, recovery-wise. Obviously, Connor Washington had to come off with an injury there. So, he's... if he was feeling great, and he just felt something... And so he's come off, one or two little niggles as well, but we've got to get ourselves ready, come back in again and bring the best of you individually to help the group, all of us, and we'll get ourselves ready for the next.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers header, and it's Johnny!
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he's got! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're looking back still at the Milton Keynes game. We just heard there from the gaffer, Nigel Adkins. He would have been very disappointed with the way things have started, Benji. I wonder if he'd be a little bit surprised. I mean, considering how well he did towards the end of last season, but I guess considering the squad he has available to him at the moment, it's probably no surprise that we're struggling, because there still really isn't those options from the bench yet.
Yeah, totally. I think we are missing players that finished last season. I know me and you are in the same camp regarding Liam Miller. I think although his final ball was quite frustrating, he did a lot of work for DJ, whereas he said, give me the ball, I'll take it up the pitch for you, and then isolated DJ a bit. So when DJ got on the ball, he wasn't man-marked as much as he was at Oxford. So you got that part of the game, Aniki, an option to bring on from the bench. He was always a handful for defenders and scored quite a lot of goals. Missed him. And of course, you look at Jake Forster-Caskey, Alex Gilby. They finished the season really well. And obviously, they're both out at the moment, so we're missing them. I mean, if you think if those two were both fit at the moment, then the likes of Dobson, Clare and Morgan, their minutes on the pitch would be managed, and we might see the best of them as they slowly come into the club and, as Tom said earlier, work out the identity. So you look at that and you think, OK, I can understand it a bit. But, of course, he'd like to have had a few more bodies in, but you don't know how strict or the process of what we're trying to do in the transfer market. Have we been put off too much by the wage demands by players or high transfer values from clubs, and we're waiting until those final, I don't know, week, 10 days, until clubs go, oh, well, actually, this player's in his last year of his contract. We better get what we can for him now. So Yeah, it's hard for Nigel because we are missing players. I don't think many people can put that much blame on him when he's looking around his bench and he can't put many players on. But look, his record last season was really good. I mean, the game we lost, was it the Peterborough game? I can't remember if we lost another game, but a team that went up via automatic promotion. So I still think he's the right man for the job. I don't think that's being questioned at the moment. But yeah, let's hope we can get a few more bodies in. I think Purrington's back in training last week. We're missing him. And don't forget, we're missing Martson. We haven't replaced him either. I know he wasn't fans' cup of tea as much, but that was another option. And he offered pace and he offered an overlapping fullback to help out the likes of DJ or Charlie Kirk now. So again, then Matthews and Gunter could have changed over at right back. I don't think, as I said, many teams have been unchanged yet this season. So I think that's probably playing a part as well.
Yeah, right. Let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in. Don't forget, we've got the fans' bar views coming up shortly as well. But Jamie says, the lack of a recruitment is having an effect. We haven't really replaced the players that have left. Our midfield has always been our strong point of the last four or five seasons. But this year, it is terrible, light and lacking quality. The pressure is on now. Will says, keep calm, deep breaths. We're only three games into the season. Keep the face. Keep the faith. Keep your face. If you have a face, keep it. Macca says, at the time you end up, you'd have to bleep out what I think about it. Then there'd be nothing left to say. It's absolute rubbish at the moment. The team, that is not us. Oh, cheers, Macca. Alan says, the first 15 minutes were more like Charlton pressing, getting the ball wide for DJ and Matthews overlapping for crosses. We get the goal and all was good again. Once it went to 1-1, though, the ball then stopped going wide and the defence start hitting the long balls to Stockley, hoping for something to come out of it. The King of Calls says, Matthews and Gunter, what has happened to them? Both have had truly awful starts to the season. I can't defend or get forward. Don't look like they want to be there. Jimmy says, is it ideal? No. Does it make for great watching? No. Am I worried? Not really. Not at all. It's early days. Window is still open. And the last two seasons, we've started well and ended up relegated and outside the playoffs. Strong start doesn't always mean a strong finish. In Charlton, we trust. Arthur says, there's no passion, no players be very lucky to stay in this league. Once again, high expectations for the season, but unlikely to see them come to fruition. Charlton do not give the same vibe as when Lee Bowyer was in charge. I mean, Arthur's looking at potential relegation. I mean, surely that's a step too far, Tom.
I can't see it myself. No, I think even with the squad we've got, I don't think we're bad enough to go down. But obviously, we've no divine right to stay up. But I just don't see that happening. I think the infrastructure is there as well. I also do think, like Benji said earlier, that by the end of the transfer window, we'll have another two or three in at the very least. Whether it's loans or permanents, I don't know. But that will just bolster the squad a little bit. If you've got people like Gilby and Purrington, it's not like, you know, Purrington's Roberto Carlos. But by just having a bit more strength in depth, that's going to help. We're still waiting on Ronnie as well. Again, unproven, I would say, at this stage. He barely touched the ball when he came on last season. And, you know, we're giving Kirk benefit of the doubt for his game the other night. You've got to get people the ball. So if we can get two or three more in and we get players fit, you know, I definitely don't think we'll go down. As I say, I think we're in a position where we should be looking at the playoffs, and anything other than that, it will be a disappointment. But, yeah, even with a bad season, I would be expecting us to finish mid-table. But you never know. You never know. Obviously, the way it's going at the moment, we're very much looking over our shoulder, but it's still early days.
Yeah, certainly is. Well, Robert says, promising start. DJ looking lively when we scored. I had high hopes for the rest of the game. How wrong I was. After their equaliser, misplaced passes, one-dimensional, no real creativity. Milton Keynes were first to the ball, more comfortable along with their one or two-touch football. Gunter was shocking out of a well below par team performance. Nigel needs to get them up for this game on Saturday and show the fans they want it, because there was a lot of unhappy ones on Tuesday, including me. It was a really poor show. Right, well, Robert did mention there were some unhappy fans, unfortunately, at Stadium MK on Tuesday. Well, I gave Benji and Lewis the unenviable task of going out and shoving microphones in their faces. It's our fans' bar views feature. First one that we've done on the road. This is what the fans after the game had to say after the performance against Milton Keynes.
I probably said the first 15 minutes we was on top. I think we deserved the first goal, and as soon as they got a cheap goal, Our heads just completely dropped, kept giving the ball away in midfield. There was actually no midfield. And then they deservedly got the second goal, and then we were just flat.
Disappointing. You would have liked to have seen a bit of a reaction from Saturday. Didn't really see any sort of identity from the team at how we're trying to play. Stockley, again, running his heart out, Morgan, but, you know, no identity, no sort of way to play, and then we end up resorting to the route one.
Terrible, absolutely shocking. Route one, last three games, we're just lumping it up to Stockley. It's shocking. We need a plan B. Adkins, not sure if he's the right man, to be honest with you, if we're going to play football like that. The last three games have been absolutely horrendous.
They were probably trying. You can't take that away from them. But, you know, to me, it just seemed very route one to Stopsley. And then the idea was it bounced down the ball to oncoming players. I'm just really, really sorry about everything. I just hope that, at the end of the day, we love it. You know, all the players we love, and they're trying. And the manager's probably trying, and the owner's trying, but it needs to be a lot better than this. It really does.
That is the main problem. What really, we had, yes, Charlie Kirk there tonight, but what else have we got on the bench to come on? There's not too much that you're going to look and think, okay, this is going to change.
The only person who put any heart into there was Jaden Stockley and also Albie. But Albie's running around like a headless chicken. He doesn't know what to do with the ball. JD, and right, I mean, man of the match by far, but he had no help. Gunter at the right back, you know, should have stayed off the pitch, you know. But I'm just getting fed up with it.
I think what we need is probably, we need depth. That's no word of a lie about that. We need squad depth. We can't be having, as good as the academy is, we can't be relying on academy if we need to chase a game. I would like to see another striker, definitely a left back, potentially another centre back. I know that they're probably working hard on getting some Premier League loans in, but you know, I feel like depth is the most important thing that we need to be looking
at. Nothing's ever straightforward, but you know, we need to sort of review things desperately. Otherwise, you know, we stand no chance. We'd be mid-table, and we're a bigger club than that. We need to really push on a little
bit. We need at least another 4 to 5 bodies. We need a left-back, Sean Clare. I've not seen much from him in midfield. He's been dreadful. We need at least another 5, 6 bodies. Charlie Kirk, didn't see much from him tonight, but what could he do when you come on like that and they're just lumping it up to stop me? So something needs to change, whether it's a couple more bodies or the manager. We've got to change something because that has been shocking. The last three games have not been good enough.
There we go, good mix of views from the fans. Thanks to all of those who spoke to Ben or Lewis after the game on Tuesday. Always good to get different people's voices on the pod. Ben and Lewis will be out again in force on Saturday after the game against Wigan. I'll try and hunt down exactly where they will be and put it on Twitter. But if you see anyone with a Charlton Live microphone doing some interviewing in the fans bar or in the Oak or somewhere after the game, make sure you go up to them, give them your opinion and get your voice on the Charlton Live podcast. I mean, Ben, one of the chaps you spoke about was, again, already sort of suggesting that maybe Nigel isn't the man for him. Again, were you surprised to see that so early? You know, obviously, he's more than entitled to his opinion, which is why we put it on the pod. But you could hear the frustration certainly in his voice. And if you've travelled all that way, you are frustrated at that point, aren't you?
Yeah, that guy had actually only travelled from around the corner. It was his local game. But for me, I do think he's got a lot of credibility from last season. And I still think he deserves to be the manager still because he's not got the tools to work with at the moment. We're still waiting for these players to come in. And I think a lot of people thought it would be like when Chris Powell got us up that season. He got players in early, of course, and we look at that and we had a team ready to go in the pre-season friendlies and they could work and gel together. So I think people are automatically disappointed because of that. But look, after the game, everyone's heated up and you're wound up. This guy I was speaking to had gone to all three games so far and was wound up. He brought a few mates with him that were local, that weren't Charlton fans, and taken them to see Charlton. And then you turn out a fixture in the second half like that, you're instantly disappointed. But for me, I think it's too early to turn on Nigel, because I don't think he's got the players there that he wants ready to work with. So once he has, then of course we can judge him. But I think at the moment, okay, I would like to see him maybe put Washington up front with Stockley as a two, because I get so frustrated that Stockley's winning so many headers and there's no one at the end of them. But other than that, I can't really complain and tell him what else to do different, because there isn't much to do.
And obviously now Connor Washington lost to injury. We'll hear the injury update from Nigel Adkins in the preview of the Wigan game. A couple more emails I want to come to as well before we move on. Chris said, great show as always. Really enjoy tuning in. There are so many issues with that performance after we let Milton Keynes back in to equalise. But one thing I've noticed is how our fullbacks simply don't get forward, and it creates a lack of support for our wide men with no overlaps. Steve says, I, along with all Charlton supporters, were again bitterly disappointed with the result and performance at Milton Keynes. Now everyone has the right to express their opinion however they seem fit. I have no problem with that. What I do have a problem with is telling Charlie Kirk he's not fit to wear the shirt, which I found pathetic. Telling Jaden Stockley the same thing after all he's done to improve the side. How do you think Deji Eleroa feels after listening to that? 17 years old, the best prospect we've had at the club for years. Confidence draining or what? Nigel Adkins and the players know they're not playing well at the moment, and things have got to change sooner rather than later. Let's see how when new players come in. I'm sure then that the team will improve. That's from Steve. Yeah, as we said, yeah, there was a bit of chanting at the end. I mean, obviously, I guess it was sort of a general aimed at everyone, but you'd assume people weren't singing that aimed at some of those better players. You know, we heard Stockley was singled out for praise during that fans bar feature we just had there. Right, Phil says, hi guys, lucky I didn't watch the game on Tuesday. The reports were that after the 15 minutes, we were lacklustre and lacking any quality. Whoever is advising Sandgaard over transfers at the moment is getting things wrong. We're woefully short of cover in so many positions, especially at left-back, ACM and a striker. If Stockley gets injured, we're in big trouble. We also haven't got anyone pulling the strings in midfield. I'm sorry, but Albie is not the answer. Thomas Sandgaard's honeymoon period is running short, and he needs to back up his promises. And then Phil says, the first 20 minutes aside, that was possibly the most inept performance I've ever seen from a Charlton side. If we carry on like that, then players won't want to come to the club. Eleroa was the only positive to come out of that match, but I think the fans already knew what a talent he is, so it doesn't come as a surprise. We have nothing in midfield and look unable to get the ball to the wingers in the current formation. Now, Phil sort of ends his email, and Dom Richardson asking the same question. There's a couple of people on Twitter asking the question as well. I mean, Tom, we've all seen it this week. I think, you know, someone's certainly become the target for a lot of ire of the Addicts fans. Now, the technical director, Jed Roddy, and I mean, a few people are asking the question. Dom Richardson's question is, a lot of fans are very angry at Jed Roddy. Do you know why this is? Did he miss an open goal against Wimbledon or something? In all seriousness, does anyone know what the comments behind him are? Phil's question's similar. He says, sincerely hope that the rumours of Roddy being in full control of scouting and recruitment aren't true, as Steve Gallen has probably done the best business the club have ever done. You know, questions like this, I mean, it's hard from the outside to really understand what the issue that people have decided is. I think there seems to be a feeling that the way people are seeing it is that Steve Gannon's not involved in transfers anymore, or he's only involved in one part of it. So I mean, when we're on the outside, I mean, it's hard to decide if that is actually what's happening. But obviously, we've seen a lot of these comments at the moment, and I don't know. The more I read of it, the more I think it's a little bit, without a lot of people getting very angry without having the full facts.
Yeah, I think I probably agree. Like you, obviously, I don't know. I think, look, somebody has to be I don't know if scapegoat's the right word, because obviously results have been bad, but somebody, fans are looking for someone to take the blame, and this is a rumour or an idea or a face or a name that people have chosen to run with, particularly since Tuesday night. As I talked about a little bit earlier, I think in some ways, no disrespect to Jed, and he's not someone I know particularly, but at least it's not the players, because as I say, it gives the players and the manager a chance to put things right on the pitch. But I think if you look at how fans are feeling overall, there are some key issues here, and the main one is recruitment. And you would argue over the last 3-4 years, one of the things, despite everything else, has been that the recruitment we have made, within whatever confines there have been, has been very good. So then you're going, okay, well, what's the difference this year? Why are we not able to do that this year when we've potentially got more money, which in itself could be an issue? And he's the only difference. And obviously Rich replied to someone the other day and said, look, my understanding is that he's involved in seeking out the players, and then Steve is involved from a more negotiations perspective. I saw today that I think Rich was going to try and dig a little bit more into that and find out. But if that is the case and Steve Gallen is not identifying players, then that is a cause for concern, because, well, why when he's been so good at it in recent years? So I don't think it helps. Obviously, his son has come in and is playing through the youth team as well. Again, it's a cheap stick to beat him with, but it's another thing that's happened. So, look, somebody has to take the blame for all of this. And obviously, there was some chance about not being fit to wear the shirt in the heat of the moment. But on the whole, I'm glad it's not the players, because you don't want it affecting them this early on, particularly those that have just joined the club. So it is a strange one. And obviously, we've had people, the Thomas Drysons of this world, who've worked kind of mysteriously behind the scenes in the transfer setup in the past. And whilst I'm not going to compare them like for like, again, we're kind of at a position where we're going, well, what exactly is he doing? Because what Thomas told the fan advisor in that interview the other week seems slightly different to what we're hearing now. And ultimately, recruitment isn't where we want it to be. And so I think that's why it's all happened. But yeah, all very strange, and I'm sure it'll all come out at some point and it'll be made clear. But at this point, as I say, I'm trying to focus on the pitch and looking ahead to Wigan, and I hope that the players are given that chance on Saturday to put things right, and that's obviously where we all need to be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's a committee for transfers, as we understand it, and I think Gallen and Jed Roddy are both on it, and I do think it has just been a bit of a strange week where all of a sudden, you know, it's like a red rag to a bull that this week we're all hugely disappointed because the recruitment hasn't been what we wanted it to be yet, and we haven't won any games yet, and we're not playing to the levels that we're hoping. And all of a sudden, people are trying to put two and two together and just decided, well, he's the new guy, it must be him, because ever since he's come in, the recruitment's not been what it should be. But I think that's a bit of a stretch, and I think some of the stuff we've seen on social media this week, trying to hound a man out of his job, when, again, as I said, no one really knows the full facts, has been a bit ridiculous. But anyway, we have been talking about recruitment. There was one named that was mentioned by Richard Corley on Tuesday. So I asked Nigel about the chap when we got to speak to him after the game. Corey Blackett-Taylor, former Aston Villa trainee, I think he was. Spent the last couple of years with Tranmere Rovers. He's currently a free agent. Charlton have been looking at him by the sounds of it, so I just asked Nigel Adkins if he can give us any more details, what he knows about the player Corey Blackett-Taylor.
There's a lot of players that we've been looking at, and a lot of players that we admire, and a lot of players that I think we've got 11, 12 days left of the transfer window, and it's obvious for everybody that we need to bring some more players in to help the honest, hard working players that we've got, who tonight unfortunately have ended up on the wrong side of the results.
Is he one you know much about? I think he was had a couple of seasons with Tranmere and was talked about with Wigan earlier on in the window. Is he a player you like the look of?
He was he's a player that I'm aware of. Obviously, he was very well when he was at Aston Villa in England. Answering your question to that, there's a lot of players that we like out there. So who knows?
There we go. Obviously, Nigel never gives much away, but the fact he knew who he used to play for and stuff obviously shows that he does have a keen eye on him. There's definitely something in the fact that we've been looking at him, similar to Charlie Kirk. Whether we end up signing him or not, I'm sure will be dependent on a few factors. I have to admit, I'd never heard of him before Tuesday. Ben, do you have a more informed view on me than me? Looks like he's a sort of an attacking midfielder who can play out wide as well. Played youth levels for England, so got some pedigree there, but you know, not a player I claim to know too much about.
No, I think I watched a few videos of him on YouTube of a few goals he scored at Tranmere. He looked quite lively.
Well,
he
you're now officially as well regarded in the recruitment world as Thomas Drysdon, if you've watched a couple of YouTube videos.
Well, yeah, I haven't told you, but I am part of the scouting team that is helping Thomas sign his players, and that is as far as it goes. I looked up his Football Manager stats as well, so yeah, he looks all right. But no, look, we need a winger. desperately because we're missing one from last season in Miller. And Jaden Stockley is one of the best strikers in the league. And if we get crosses into him, he will head them in the goal.
So I guess because obviously we've had Charlie Kirk come in, but we'd still, you know, if Kirk and or DJ are out, then all of a sudden we don't have a winger and we're back to Washington playing out of position, which is, you know, why we definitely need a body in that place.
Yeah, definitely. It's just gives us an extra option because if, well, I've seen Kirk play down the middle as well, like just behind the striker. So it just mixes it up for us. And look, when defenders are getting tired, especially fullbacks, the last thing they want is a winger coming on who's fast and tricky, and that'll put them on the back foot. And yeah, so if we can add someone like that to our team, I see Wigan were interested in him earlier on in the window. I don't know if he was training with him or something, but don't know what happened there. So look, I know Wigan have got a lot of players in this summer in free transfers, so that might have been the case. They got too many players in and they went elsewhere. But yeah, definitely a position I think we need another player in.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, there were reports linking him to Wigan, as I sort of mentioned there when I was asking Nigel. But I guess you never know with reports linking players to certain places. Could easily be agent speak, just like I imagine it was when Charlie Kirk was linked with Sheffield United and obviously still ended up coming to the Valley. Right, let's look ahead then to the game with Wigan at the Valley on Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. Tom, you're finally going, but only because you're going to get wined and dined in the Valley Gold Box.
Yeah, I'm not actually staying for the game. I'm just going to have a bit of food and then head back off. So, I'll actually be there. I have got another festival at Crystal Palace again, but because it's at home this time, I can go after. Yeah. So,
Nathan's name got pulled out of the hat. I think everyone who's in Valley Gold, they pull your name out of a hat if you get lucky. And this time it was Nathan's, and he hasn't got any mates, so he's got to take you.
Yeah, well, I'll take it. I'll take that. However, whatever he thinks of me, I'll be there. So, joking aside, I'm really excited to get back. And yeah, I felt a little bit like I was getting a little bit disillusioned. Obviously, season seems to have come around very, very, very quickly. And we've obviously not started the season well. But now we're a couple of days out from getting back to the Valley. I cannot wait. Honestly, I realised how much I've missed it. So, at least until kickoff, I'll be looking forward to it. And then we'll see what happens.
So, well, hopefully you would have drunk so much free booze that you forgot. Well, I don't know if it's free, actually. You do have
That's
to pay.
The plan. Yeah. I don't know, but either way, I'll be planning to do that.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's hear from Nigel Adkins. And ahead of the game with Wigan on Saturday, he gave us the injury update first. Obviously, Connor Washington, the main concern after coming off injured against Milton Keynes.
Well, yeah, he talked about Connor Washington there. Obviously, came off. You could see he was in a lot of discomfort. He probably won't make the game, but you never know.
Okay,
We'd like to think not. We've got excellent medical care here, so he's being assessed, he's progressing. So he probably won't make the game, but as I said, you never know. We've got one or two other players who've got little niggles, as you say. It's been a busy period building into the season so far. So obviously the loading of players and the physical contacts that go on, one or two players have got a few little situations that need to be resolved. But on the whole, the players are in good spirits, looking forward to the game.
And slightly more longer-term players, of course, Alex Gilbert, Ben Perrington. How much closer are they?
Yeah, Ben Perrington's been out on the grass the latter stages of his rehab. I'd like to think that next week he'll be back in training with the players. So that's really good, as long as he can just keep that progression. Alex Gilbert's been doing some more CV stuff. It's obviously probably after effects of COVID, really. Which it's affected all of us, hasn't it? You know, so we have to be mindful of that. He's an athlete, and obviously the respiratory system can be affected in certain ways. But he's doing some physical activity, but he's going to be a little bit longer, I think.
So 200 games on the trot now, and a week, a good gap of a week in between. I think week games left. Is that obviously a good thing? Gives more time on the training pitch. With 200 games, one after the other.
Well, it's like everybody. You've got like a. People have sizes of squads. Sometimes you need to have recovery in between it. And obviously, you need to go and train. You know, you need to have recovery. You need to have bonding with everybody. Team spirit is a massive thing, especially if you just highlighted a little bit at this moment in time where, you know, confidence can go up and down in so many different ways. Spirit keeps you going in a big way. You know, what's the environment? I say to the players, what's the environment like when things are going well? You're in early, you leave later, you speak to everybody, everyone's jovial, you train really, really hard. What's the environment like if you're doing poorly? You come in late, you go away early, you sulk, you keep out of the way, you don't speak to anybody, probably don't give the best of you got. So make sure the environment is the environment that it should be when things are going well. because no coincidence, things are going well in that environment like that, you know. So, and we keep improving on the performance. So spirit is important, team bonding is important, and looking after each other is important. These are all part of the recipe to give yourself a chance to win games of football and do well.
There we go. That's Nigel. It doesn't sound good for this weekend, at least for Connor. And we're still a little bit away from Purrington and Gilby coming back. So it doesn't really sound like there's going to be any new faces in the side when it comes to Saturday. A Wigan side that, you know, famously have bought basically everyone that Ipswich haven't bought. You know, and there's a couple of players that we looked at that ended going there. I don't know which ones, but that's been mentioned that we would have loved to have signed some of the players that ended up at Wigan, but they're paying more money than we are. That's a fact. So expected to do well this season, but not started off the greatest. Started off slightly better than us because they did beat Rotherham 1-0, but they, you know, drew with Wickham, I guess, coming down from the Champ, and lost at Sunderland, which I guess you could say is probably a tough game in this division as well. So they've had three difficult games to start off with, Ben. But they haven't set the world alight, but I guess when you have made a few signings, that's possibly a gelling situation as well for them.
Well, yeah, I was looking through their team selections actually over the last few games, and kind of the point I was making before, they've changed around their team a lot. I know they got that Rochdale striker, Humphreys, who caused us a lot of problems last season. He started the game before, but was on the bench on Tuesday night. And he's definitely someone to watch out for. He scored that amazing free kick, didn't he, last year against us. And you've also got someone like Charlie Wyke, who was the top goal scorer in the league last year. So another player to watch out for. And I just noticed he hasn't scored yet this season. But they have got the mighty Ben Amos in goal. I thought he was a decent keeper for us, but we used to get loads of emails in last season, didn't we, saying that they didn't think he was good enough and stuff. And I mean, I looked at his game, really, I think he was a bit susceptible to long shots, wasn't he, but and coming for crosses as such. But other than that, I think he's a good keeper, so I think we'll have to work hard to try and beat him. But yeah, look, Wigan are going to be up there, but it's a really tough league this year. I think people have looked at the Championship and League One and thought, wow, League One's going to be a real competitive league. I mean, you just talked us through Wigan's fixtures this season, saying Wickham, Sunderland. And we've had some tough. We've had Oxford that were in the playoffs last year. MK Dons have strengthened their side this year. And obviously playing Sheffield Wednesday will be another team up there. We're going to have such tough games this season, so it's not going to be an easy ride. And Wigan pose a massive task for us on Saturday, and I fully expect them to be in the top six.
Yeah, now obviously we know that Washington's almost certainly not going to make it then, so Charlie Kirk, I think Nigel said he had to bring him on earlier than he was planning on Tuesday evening, you know, and ended up playing for the best part of 35 minutes. So if that was the case on Tuesday, do you think that means he'd be ready to start now? It'd be a big ask for the young man, Tom.
Yeah, I guess at the moment, given who we've got, it's either him or Claydon, or you do what I've seen plenty of people calling for, which is try a 4-4-2, and then you've got to chuck Josh Davison up there. But it's a shame, really, because I even think if you were going 4-4-2, I'd prefer Connor alongside Jaden, but obviously that's not the case. So, yeah, we're very limited in that position, really, in terms of the options. But personally, I think Claydon impressed me during pre-season. I know he's still young, and I know we need to be careful with him, but I think whilst given what's going on in Kirk's personal life and the fact that he didn't have much of a pre-season, I think personally, if we're going to stick with the same formation, I'd be putting Claydon out there and give him a go, and just, you know, say no pressure, just go and do what you do. And then I'm sure we'll see Kirk at some point, if not from the start, but I just think we need to be careful with him, because if he was to break down two games in, then obviously that would be a risk. So yeah, that really is the only change, I guess, we can make at this stage.
Right, it's 8 years since we went three games without a win at the start of the season until this season, Ben. Facts and Stats has just tweeted this: 25 years since we last went four games without a win at the start of the season. That momentum, I mean, that and that disquiet around the place at the moment, I mean, that needs to be halted in its tracks a little bit at the moment, because we need a bit of a fillip before things really start to get, you know, dragging on and really the place is really down in the dumps.
Yes, we do, mate. I think an early goal would massively help with that, just to get the fans back on side a little bit and get the atmosphere going. I mean, look, I'm sure when once the players walk out the tunnel on Saturday, the fans will be right behind them again. And the fans, hopefully the players will feed off that after the comments and the songs at the end of the game on Tuesday, because look, that was frustrating times, but it's at the moment there are players that haven't played many minutes for the club because quite a few of them are new players. So if we do try and get an early goal Saturday, I'm sure that will get the place going, and hopefully we can keep that lead, which obviously we didn't do on Tuesday night. And just try and get behind them, because at the moment, as I said, you're feeding off a team that haven't got many options, as Tom just said there, trying to figure out something we could do, starting the youngster Clayton, and there isn't too much options out there to change it, especially with another injury. So, yeah, hopefully an early goal. If we can get an early goal, I think that will help massively.
Excellent stuff. Right, we've come to the end of this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in. Thank you to Benji and to Tom for joining me.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you both with me. Right, I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Wigan. Let's hope that we finally pick up those first 3 points of the season. We shall see you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.